The apostles remembered the message from the angel. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The angel spoke at the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. After they saw Jesus twice in the upper room, they headed out to the Galilee. They were obedient. And this is a place where they were most comfortable since it was their home. And they waited. While they were there, they returned to what they knew best and found comfort in: fishing on the beautiful Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, as the gospel said today. It's one and the same. Today's gospel tells us there were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. Now, Nathanael also has another name. He's known as Bartholomew, or Bartolome, Bar son of Tolome, of the sons of Zebedee, John and James, and there were two other disciples that remain unnamed. As we've discussed many times in the past, fishermen did their work at night, since fish were attracted to the light that they used. So these apostles, after working all night long and coming up empty, are met by someone who's quite a distance away on the shore of the Galilee. He calls them children and tells them to go back out and cast their net on the right side of the boat. We're not told whether or not they remembered the first time that Jesus told them to go back out, but we do know that the results are very similar. This time, Jesus is not in the boat. Instead, he's on the shore. And he's telling them, do it yourselves, and to drop their nets off the right side of the boat. The apostles were fishing off the northwestern shore near the place where Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, near the site of the feeding of the 5,000 as well. This place is called Tabgha, or means seven springs, very near the place where the fishermen were called to be apostles, but not far from Capernaum. Now, if you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see right under the beautiful picture called The Miraculous Catch, you'll see that I gave you a map. Actually, it looks like a picture, an aerial photo. But in essence, what I've added to it makes it a map. And you'll notice that right here in the front is this place called T-A-B-G-H-A, Tabgha. And right behind it is the Mount of Beatitudes, okay, the Sermon on the Mount. Capernaum is a little further to the right, and then Bethsaida, and then behind it, the Golan Heights. You've heard of the Golan Heights, okay? I just wanted you to get an idea of where this was taking place. You know, a lot of times when we talk about Israel and the Sea of Galilee, you can look at me with a blank stare because you don't know. You know, I'm the only two people in the room that have been there, Marilyn and I. But now you've been there in picture anyway to be able to see this. Tabgha is an area that the apostles knew as close to home. Significant in the life of the church, northwestern or western shore of the Sea of Galilee, it's thought to be the Jewish waters. Now, what am I getting at here? And when you go out onto the lake to fish, you would point, well, actually, it would be this way. You'd point your boat north, okay? The eastern shore was the Gentile side of the boat where the Golan Heights and the Decapolis was. It was on that shore, by the way, where Jesus drove the legion of demons into the swine. The swine or pigs, of course, couldn't be on the Jewish side of the lake because the Jews don't have pigs. They're considered treif, unclean, okay? So for Jesus to be telling the apostles throw their nets off the right side of the boat, he's now telling them that they're going after Gentile fish. You see the significance of the risen Jesus directing the apostles in preparation or preparing them for ministry as fishers of men, that they'd be catching Gentiles into their nets as well, not just Jews. And they took it in they took in quite a haul of fish. By the direction of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God now is open to everyone, Jew and Gentile. As a matter of fact, I think that today's gospel talked a huge number of fish, and we'll get to that in a minute. When the apostles headed for shore with their huge miraculous catch, it was then that Peter had his eyes open and he recognized Jesus. And he jumped out of the boat toward him. The other apostles brought the boat in and followed, arriving to find that Jesus had already prepared a fire and had cooked fish and bread. Fish and bread. The very same meal that fed 5,000 people right near here a few years before. And that was awaiting the followers of Jesus. Fish and bread, a meal provided by Jesus without the help of the apostles, that had to have come from the same heavenly source as that had multiplied meal. And then what did Jesus do? He invited them to bring some of their catch for breakfast as well. Jesus greeted the apostles and asked them to bring some of the fish that they'd caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. The net was full of large fish, not tiny little ones, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn, the gospel tells us. This was a large number. So why does the apostle John use the number 153? I'm sure he didn't sit there and count them out. But what he was trying to say was that this needed to be reported with detailed accuracy. So rather than saying it's about 150 or about 200 fish, he said that it was exactly 153. And it meant that this report was precisely as it happened. And Jesus' followers would need to hear this message that was associated with it. Some Christians will at times get the impression that it's up to us to do it all. You know, if we don't organize it, it won't get done. If we don't teach it, they won't get taught. If we don't tell the people the good news of Jesus Christ, they're not going to hear it. And if we don't change the world, it won't get changed. Some people have thought over the years that we need to be God's hands. Well, I want to suggest to you, God doesn't need our hands. Remember, it was God's hands that made the sun rise this morning. It was his hands that created the world with just a word. God doesn't need our hands, but he gratefully accepts them, allowing us to come alongside him in ministry. God welcomes the efforts of those he loves and honors and blesses those efforts because they glorify him. Jesus doesn't need the apostles' fish, but as I mentioned, he invites them to bring their catch alongside the ones that he has prepared. He asks them to work alongside him. Listen to the words for the first time that Jesus told the apostles to throw out the nets. He said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." That's from Luke chapter 5, verses 4 to 8. This time their efforts brought in the catch that Jesus designed for them. And so it is in ministry. Jesus sends us out to do the work that he's given us to do. Do those words sound familiar? Our post-communion prayer. Send us out to do the work you have given us to do. Amazing. People to come in contact with, things to do. And he blesses us and guides us all the while. I might add that they had to be thinking that so much of what was happening seemed so very familiar to them that day. Have you ever had that happen to you? You go someplace and you feel that you've been there before? I know there's that saying of deja vu, but there's more to it than that. Or you meet somebody and you say to yourself, I know them, or I've met them before. And chances are, you have. That thought must have been racing through your head. They know that they've been to this place before, or they grew up near here. What happened here? Well, that must have been going through their head, for they grew up near there. And they must have been saying to themselves, something like this happened before. Jesus fed them with bread and fish. Amazing. Bread and fish. Wasn't that what happened here? God loves to do that, by the way. I've told you many times how he uses the Jordan River to have certain things happen to certain people. Throughout all of Scripture, by the way, God has an intricate way of weaving things so that we can relate to it. Each one of us is called to work hard for Jesus Christ, to be organized with no excuse for laziness, sloppiness, or half-hearted effort in God's kingdom. If it's God's work that we're doing, then we must do it with all our might, striving to do excellence in the process. Jesus calls each one of us into ministry in his name, and I can't help but remember his words, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." John 15:16. Those words should be emblazoned on each one of our hearts. We're called to come alongside him, just like the apostles that day. Jesus welcomes your efforts. He welcomes your ministry as you're part of the body of Christ. He wants you to come alongside him, fishing for people. A truly miraculous catch. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.